Prayer. Prayer is what we are thinking about across the East Gateway churches today. I think one of the greatest tragedies in the modern church is not that we don't have access to prayer, but we make very little use of prayer. In pretty much every church in the world, the prayer meeting is one of the least attended meetings during a week. Many of us, we've got Bibles at home, we've got Bibles on our shelves, we probably on our smart devices have Bible or worship songs on our playlists. We live in a world where we can have Christian content at our fingertips, our phones, iPads, computers. Many of us listen to podcasts. We have podcasts playing in our ears. We have access to sermons on demand. And yet with all of that noise, all of that resource, all of that technology, somehow all of our busyness gets in the way. And we remain prayerless when we should be praying. We often talk about prayer. We perhaps admire prayer or the way that others pray and think, oh, I wish I could pray like that. We also say that we believe in prayer. We have a prayer chain. We've got many things that we pray for throughout the week. Special requests when someone is particularly hurting or there's something going on in their lives, they go on the prayer chain. And we have many across our churches that are faithful in wrestling with God. But the question before us today is not, do you believe prayer matters? The question is, are you praying? In our discipleship series this year, Following Jesus, today we come to one of the most essential spiritual disciplines of them all. Prayer, my friends, is not an optional extra for especially keen Christians. Prayer is not a hobby for the spiritual few. Prayer is not reserved for pastors or church leaders or intercessors or the elderly saints who seem to have a special anointing to pray. All of those are important, but they are not the only source of prayer. They're not the only people who should be praying. Prayer, I would argue, is the breath of discipleship. We pray to our Lord. And a disciple is not just someone who attends church or sings songs or owns a Bible. A disciple is someone who has learned to live in communion with the Father through the Holy Spirit by prayer. No, I'm not going to ask you to put your hand up if you've already prayed today, but you know whether you have or not. Friends, if Bible reading is how God speaks to us through his word, prayer is how we speak to God in response. We are meant to communicate with our Lord, with our Saviour, with our King. And if discipleship is following Jesus, then prayer is how we walk nearer to him. If spiritual warfare is real, and it is, then prayer is how we stand in the midst of conflict. Prayer is how we continue in the battle. Maybe you've had a time in your life when anxiety was rising. Maybe you've had a time when temptation was really strong. Or maybe you just think the world is too noisy. Friends, prayer is not a luxury. Prayer is a necessity. In all of those circumstances, in all of those situations, we must pray. Evangelist and author Leonard Ravenhill, he famously pointed out that no man is greater than his prayer life. Maybe that stings a little. Maybe it reminds us that our spiritual weakness is not due to lack of opportunity, but lack of dependence. We know we should depend on our Lord in every situation and every circumstance, but often we seek our own strength, our own wisdom, our own ability before actually seeking the Lord's help and guidance. Too often we rely on self rather than our Saviour. Today I'm preaching on this theme, spiritual disciplines prayer, when disciples pray following Jesus on our knees. There was a time when people knelt down to pray, when people took a position of submission to God. Now we boldly stand, we pray, we gesticulate and wave our arms around. But sometimes I think we do actually need to humble ourselves, to bow before our Lord, to just come before him in submission. My burden is simple today. I don't want us to leave this place just being informed about prayer. I want us to leave this place today being convicted to pray, being equipped to pray, being moved to pray. Let's not just hear about prayer, but let's be active in it. When disciples pray, our hearts are changed. When we confess our sins before our Lord, our burdens are lifted. Peace is given. Power of God is released into our lives. But most importantly, Christ is glorified when we pray. First point, a disciple prays continually. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 to 18. Always be joyful, never stop praying. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. Never stop praying, or pray without ceasing, as other translations might put it. The Apostle Paul writes these words to a very young church, the church in Thessalonica, a church that was facing pressure, persecution, and also cultural opposition. Yet Paul doesn't tell them to strategize. He doesn't tell them to find a way to defend themselves or withdraw. He tells them to pray. The Greek phrase for never stop praying, it means without ceasing, not in the sense of non-stop verbal prayer, not in the sense of just babbling the way that people babble. But it's a life that is marked by ongoing, conscious prayer, by speaking directly to God. It's the difference between saying prayers and living in a prayerful way. We sang the Lord's Prayer. We've sung it before. Our Father. We can sing things, we can say things, we can do it automatically, but we actually need to stop and think, to consider every word, because we have to remember who it is that we're praying to or who we're singing to. In both our worship and our prayer, we need to be conscious of God. Prayer is not just something we do at set times. Prayer is meant to become like an atmosphere of our life. Prayer is meant to be something that we treat as special. In the car, we can pray. Not just because there's bad drivers on the road, but we can pray to our Lord to thank him. In the kitchen, we can pray. You can pray the toast doesn't get burnt. Or you can pray with thankfulness that the Lord has provided you with food. In the workplace, you can pray. Oh, but you don't know where I work. You don't know what my boss is like. Well, isn't that all the more reason to pray? Pray for strength. Pray to be a witness. Pray to actually have an opportunity to share something of the love of God with the people that we work with. In difficulty, pray. Circumstances come, situations come, the world presses in on us. It's more reason to pray, not less. And in joy, pray. So often we only pray when things are going wrong. But we're meant to pray to give thanks to the Lord, to have joy about everything. Something wonderful's happened in your life, thank him. Prayer should be continuous. We should continue to turn our hearts towards God in every circumstance. There was a man who once asked me, how can I pray all the time? I work, I have a really busy job. And I said to the guy, do you breathe while you work? He said, yes, so pray. Prayer is spiritual breathing. You don't stop breathing because you're too busy, dear. We always find the time to breathe. And in the same way as disciples of the living God, we should always find time to pray, especially when life is full, especially when life is busy. We must draw closer to him. Psalm 145, verse 18 says, "The Lord is close to all who call on him, yes, to all who call on him in truth." Call, in Hebrew, it's kara, to cry out, to summon, to invoke relationally, to be involved with. Friends, God is not distant. He is near to those who call upon him. It was John Piper who said that prayer is not a way to get things from God. It is a way to get more of God. We all need more of God in our lives. Not things, not stuff, but God. And as disciples, that's the shift that we need to make. Prayer is not merely a tool for asking for provision. Prayer is a pathway into a living relationship with our Lord and Saviour, to enable us to draw closer to him, to know him, to love him. Maybe we all need to develop more short prayers throughout the day. Prayers don't have to be long and drawn out. They don't have to contain many words. They don't have to be theologically perfect. But we do have to pray. Maybe we could whisper thanks. Maybe we could ask for help more often. Maybe we could seek guidance from the Lord more frequently. We could turn moments of prayer into full conversations with God. He cares for us. Do you pray continually? Or do you pray once in a while? Do you pray only when you have to? Or do you pray because you love the Lord? Second point, the disciple prays powerfully. James chapter 5, verses 16 to 18. "Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results." Elijah was as human as we are, and yet when he prayed earnestly that no rain would fall, none fell for 3.5 years. Then, when he prayed again, the sky sent down rain and the earth began to yield its crops. The earnest prayer of a righteous person. The word earnest in Greek, energo, it speaks of active, effective, energized prayer. It's not boring. It's not slow. There's an energy there. There's a power that's there. And friends, our prayer should not be passive. Our prayer should not be empty. Our prayer should not be meaningless repetition. Prayer is powerful because God is powerful. We are speaking to the source of all power in prayer. But you notice it says, Elijah was as human as we are. That means the power is not in the man. The power is not in the woman. The power is in God. Think of prayer like plugging into the mains electricity supply. What you plug in, an appliance, a toaster, for example, the power is not in the toaster. The power comes from the source. And the toaster will not do anything unless you plug it in. And many Christians are spiritually unplugged. They wonder why there's no power in their lives. They wonder why there's no hope in their lives. They wonder why. But they don't speak to the Lord. Jeremiah 33:3 says, "Ask me and I will tell you remarkable secrets you do not know about things to come." Ask, kara. Again, it implies a cry, an urgent, dependent calling to actually ask the Lord. Do you remember what Jesus said in Mark 11:24? "I tell you, you can pray for anything, and if you believe that you've received it, it will be yours." Now, this does, of course, assume that we are praying according to the will of God. We can't just manifest things because we like the idea of something happening. But many of us, we pray as though God is hesitant. But Scripture reveals to us a Father who delights to answer. That when we pray in faith, when we pray according to God's will, God will answer, God will move. There are three possible outcomes to every prayer. Yes, no, and wait. The yes we're happy with, the no upsets us, but the wait, that's probably the hardest thing for us. We want it done now, but God does things in his time. R.T. Kendall said this, "Prayer is not overcoming God's reluctance, but laying hold of his willingness." The issue is not that God is reluctant to answer prayer. It's often our reluctance to ask. Again, we go back to the fact that we think in our own strength, in our own might, in our own wisdom, we'll be okay. But we need to ask God to move. Think for a moment in your own life. Do you pray boldly or do you pray timidly? Do you pray specifically about things or are you vague in your prayers? Do you pray expectantly or do you pray with doubt? A disciple prays powerfully because God powerfully answers prayer. And we need to trust the way that God answers prayer. Third point, a disciple prays honestly. Philippians 4, 6 and 7. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. In some ways, this is a really hard verse for us. Don't worry about anything. Can you put your hand up if you've never worried about anything in your life? Yeah, I thought so. Instead, pray about everything. The Apostle Paul, he is writing these words from inside a prison. He's not in a place of comfort. He is in a place of chains. And yet he says, replace worry with prayer. Worry can pull us apart. Worry can divide our minds. Anxiety can fracture our soul. But prayer restores us. Prayer strengthens us. Prayer helps us to keep on keeping on. But you notice the instruction that's here. Tell God what you need and thank him for what he has done. He may not have done what we wanted, but he will always do what we need. And then the promise that's here, peace that surpasses understanding. Not explanation, not immediate change in the circumstance, but peace. A child might wake in the dark. The room that they've gone to sleep in hasn't changed, but there are shadows that are there. And yet, when a parent comes in and sits beside a child, everything changes. The fear goes. Why? Because the presence brings peace. When we know the presence of God with us, we know true peace. Prayer brings us into the presence of God. We slow down, we be still, we pause, and we let God be God. 1 Peter 5:7. Give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares about you. Give. In the Greek, it's to throw upon, to cast completely. Put everything in God's hands. Don't try and manage your anxiety. Give it to God. He will deal with it. Max Lucado said this, anxiety and prayer are like oil and water. They refuse to mix. When prayer increases, anxiety decreases. Not because life becomes easier, but because our focus shifts from the problem to the provider. Bring everything to God. Nothing is too small. Be honest. I mean, God already knows your heart. We cannot hide our true feelings or our true thoughts from God. Yet sometimes in prayer, we attempt to be very eloquent. We attempt to be very solid. If we're falling apart on the inside, God already knows that. If our hearts are not in the right place, God already knows that. If our wants and our desires are wrong, God already knows that. Oh, but Lord, you know I need a brand new electric car and I need an electric vehicle charger and I need to make sure that it's got leather seats and air conditioning and I need large boot space and I want matching alloy wheels and I want... Lord, please give me a car so that I can get to where I need to be. There's a difference, isn't there? What we would like and what we actually need. And sometimes they say you should never throw oil on a fire. We need to think carefully about what we're praying for. God will answer our prayers according to his will, according to his purpose. But we shouldn't be asking for the wrong things. God knows our heart, But we still need to cultivate our hearts. We need to cultivate more thanksgiving in our prayers. And we must always pray honestly. Okay, fourth point. A disciple prays intimately and biblically. Jesus taught his disciples in Matthew 6. When you pray, don't be like the hypocrites who love to pray publicly on street corners and in synagogues where everyone can see them. I tell you the truth, that is all the reward they will receive. But when you pray, go away by yourself, shut the door behind you and pray to your Father in private. Then your Father who sees everything will reward you. When you pray, don't babble on and on as the Gentiles do. They think their prayers are answered merely by repeating their words again and again. Don't be like them. For your Father knows exactly what you need even before you ask him. Pray like this. Our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come soon. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today the food we need and forgive us our sins as we have forgiven those who sin against us. And don't let us yield to temptation, but rescue us from the evil one. Jesus doesn't just tell us to pray, he shows us how to pray. Our Father in heaven, there's relationship there, there's intimacy there, there's access there. Through Christ, we don't pray to a distant deity, we pray to our loving Father. May your name be kept holy. There's worship here, there's reverence here, there's God-centered prayer going on here. May your kingdom come, your will be done. That's submission, that's alignment. That helps us to remember that prayer is not bending God's will to ours. It's aligning our will to his. Give us today the food we need. That shows dependence. That shows trust in daily provision. Forgive us our sins. That's confession. That's the grace of God at work in our lives. Don't yield to temptation. That's all about spiritual warfare. That's about protection. Prayer is like tuning a radio. Do you remember the old-fashioned radios where you actually had to turn a dial? Now they're digital when you're tapping a number and you get digital radio that always seems to have a perfect signal. But do you remember the old analog one, the crackly one? Friends, God is always speaking to us, but our hearts are not necessarily aligned with the frequency that God is speaking on. We can be slightly off, just like the old radios. Or if we are attuned to God in prayer, we can hear from him. We can receive from him. We can be strengthened. Romans 8:15 says, "So you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you received God's spirit when he adopted you as his own children. Now we call him Abba, Father." Abba. It's an intimate term that means daddy. That's the easiest translation for us. Daddy. A relationship with the God of the universe that is as personal as a relationship with Father. Tim Keller said this, "To pray is to accept that we are and always will be wholly dependent on God. There is nothing that we can do without God's involvement." And friends, this is the essence of discipleship. Prayer is not a weakness. It's the recognition that without Christ, we are nothing. That we can do nothing. So maybe we need to use the Lord's Prayer as a pattern more often. Maybe we should always begin our day, our life, with worship. And then move to submission, then to requests. But keep the prayer God-centered, not self-centered. Thy will be done, not mine, his. A disciple prays intimately and biblically. Let's turn to the gospel. The reason we can pray at all is because of Jesus Christ. Sin separates us from God. Our rebellion, it cuts us off from his presence. But Jesus came. He lived the life that we could not live. He died the death that we deserved. On the cross, he bore our sin. In the grave, he conquered death. And on the third day, he rose again. And through him, the veil was torn. We have direct access to Father God in prayer. Hebrews 4:16 says, so let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. Friends, hear me clearly. We cannot have a prayer life without a relationship with God. We cannot have a relationship with God the Father unless we have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Maybe today you feel far from God. Maybe today you need to repent of something in your life. You need to turn away from something that is holding you back and fully put your trust in Jesus as Lord and Saviour. When we come to Jesus in faith, we are forgiven. When we come to Jesus in faith, we are saved. When we come to Jesus in faith, he brings us into a relationship with Father God. Let's not just listen to the word of God. Let's do what the word of God says. My call to action to us this morning, here's some practical steps. Set aside a daily time to prayer. Yes, it's always important to pray continually throughout the day, but set aside a specific time without distractions to just spend with the Lord. Use the Lord's Prayer as a guide, the structure that's there on how to pray. Yes, pray throughout the day. Maybe keep a prayer journal. I know many people who actually write out what it is that they've been praying for. And then they look back and they see what God has done. And some people prayed for things years ago. And it takes years for them to come to fruition. But God is faithful. And pray with others. There's something wonderful about when Christians come together to pray. To encourage one another, to speak to God, to understand that we're not alone in the room. Sometimes prayer meetings can be listening meetings. We might support others who are praying silently in our prayers. And other times you go to a prayer meeting and the room is just full of people speaking to the Lord. Both are good. But unless we actually go to a prayer meeting, we'll never experience corporate prayer. Let me give you a challenge. What if this week you became a prayer warrior? What if we corporately became a praying church? What if each of our homes was filled with prayer this week? What if when anxiety comes or fear comes, we replaced the fear or the anxiety with prayer for peace? What if this week God moved in power because his people sought him in prayer? In conclusion, church, prayer is not a duty to endure. It's a delight for us to discover. Prayer is the place where our burdens are lifted. Prayer is the place where our hearts are changed. Prayer is the place where God is encountered. May we go from this place today not merely inspired, but transformed. May we become a people of prayer. May our homes be houses of prayer. May our lives be marked by a communion with God, by prayer with God. May our hearts burn with love for Jesus. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. When disciples pray, following Jesus on our knees, may that be something that we are willing to do, not just now, but until God calls us home. Amen.